Hello and welcome everyone. You're joining me this week. That's fine. And so that's free to bring it forward. There's anything on your heart, there's anything in your mind that you're struggling with, and please let me know and I will make sure that I speak about it. So I thought we might start this week by taking some deep full belly breaths, through closing our eyes and fully coming into the depth of our own presence. And so we're breathing deeply and allowing our awareness to descend deep into the belly. We're giving ourselves permission to fully relax, to fully be here. And so I invite you to relax the jaw, the throat, the neck, and the shoulders. To relax the upper back, mid back, lower back. And give yourself the gift of letting go into this peace. This peace which surrounds us. And this peace, which is our very nature. And so it's relaxing into this peace. We're noticing this peace is alive, awake, and vibrant. We're noticing that this peace that is luminous. Infused with sense of pranic aliveness, a radiance, a gentleness and a beauty. And of course, if any of you are struggling with thoughts in your mind, I invite you to notice the consciousness. The consciousness in the bottom of your feet, in your calves, your shins, your thighs, your legs. Notice how quiet it is if you descend deep into the body. If you pull attention away from the thinking mind, and descend deep into the belly, deep into our energetic body, Begin to notice that this body, it's already peaceful, it's already silent. It's really only the mind and emotion which are allowed within us. If you feel into the consciousness of your the space of your belly, the consciousness of your spine, if you feel into the consciousness of your heart, it's so quiet, so absolutely still. And so I invite you, joining me, and just letting go. Letting go of the busyness of the weekend. Letting go of the busyness of this life. And to notice what's here now. If your eyes are open, I invite you to notice whatever it is you're gazing at is subtly alive, subtly awake, just gently vibrating with light. And if your eyes are closed, I invite you to notice that your nature, even the darkness that's there while your eyes are closed, if you feel into the darkness, if you look directly into it, it's alive, it's awake. It's very gently luminous. Most of us never pay any attention to our luminous nature. To this fountain of divinity which we are. Most of us are too busy going from one thought to the next. Lost in some dance of mind, some illusion, some fabrication of this or that. But can you join me right now in being unfabricated? Can you join me right now in being awake and aware and present? Present to the beauty of your own nature. A silent, radiant, wondrous beauty. Can you find this beauty? Can you awaken to this beauty? Can you open to the fullness of what you are? The absolute fullness It's an act of great love for you to step out of your habitual thinking mind and to open into your absolute beauty, your luminous nature. God wants nothing more for us than for us to open to what we truly are, and for us to discover our divinity, which is His divinity. Our divinity is her divinity. So can we feel, can we experience can we open to the quiet, radiant, and exuberant presence of our true nature? So your job is to simply notice. Notice what's happening. Notice what you are beyond thought, beyond emotion. What is this? This presence that you are. How big is this presence? How vast? How glorious is this truth? So can you join me? Will you join me in receiving the absolute beauty, the absolute divinity of your nature? It requires that you let go of which is old, that which is outdated, that which is obsolete. That which is no longer necessary. Can you let go of? That which is no longer necessary. Can you let go of that which is a repetition of the past? And join me. And opening to this absolute beauty which you are. So can you feel the vast spaciousness of your own mind? Can you notice that your mind has no beginning and no end? Your true mind is the space of your consciousness. It has no beginning or end, no gender, no age, no bias or belief. No agenda. Your true mind is simply beautiful, vibrant, spacious, vast, and it's everywhere. Can you find a place which is not included? Which is not included in the vastness of your beauty, the vastness of your divinity, the spaciousness of your nature? When we're truly open, when we truly let go, when we step into the hugeness of what we are, it's very difficult to find any place which is not us. And so I invite you to continue letting go into this presence. To continue letting go into your divinity. I invite you to step fully into this grace that you are, this hugeness that you are. And if you'd like to continue to sit in meditation, I welcome that. And of course, if you want to open your eyes and listen or ask a question, I welcome that as well. And so I received an interesting question this week. And so I thought I'd start by speaking about it. I have a couple of questions. But of course, at any moment, if you feel like you want me to speak about something different, then please speak up. This is our time. And I invite you to open your heart and to see, is there anything within you, anything which you struggle with, or are struggling with, anything which would like some greater attention, and please let me know, and we can look at this together. But this question I received and yes, Ravi, I'll look at this. Hi, Craig. Can you talk about how transcendent sexual cravings? Can you talk about how to transcend sexual cravings? Excuse me. Since my Kundalini has been activated, I have an intensity in terms of lustful thoughts. Yes, this is a very common thing that happens. When the divinity comes into our chakra centers, it floods it with light and it brings it into awareness. And so, whether the divinity is awakening from below, in the sense of a traditional Kundalini awakening, or whether we are being flooded with grace from above, the experience tends to be the same. So our root chakra, the center for sex, sexuality. It's also the center for our relationship with our family and our tribe, our culture. And so when the light comes into this center, it does two things. It radically amplifies this center. And each of the seven chakra centers is a lower mind and a higher mind. So the lower mind is just an aspect of ego. And so the root chakra, in regards to our egoic nature, of course, has to do with sex and sexual connection. And in the lowest form, it comes out of just animal sexual cravings. And so when the light comes into this chakra center, it's going to amplify. It's going to bring to awareness all these cravings. It's going to amplify them. It's doing this because it's asking us to look at this. Look at what's here. The light is asking the lower to be transformed into the higher. It's literally burning it up. And so as the light comes into this chakra center and is burning up, the old way of being, there's a lot of heat, there's a lot of thoughts that move through this center, a lot of old thoughts, lustful thoughts. And so, yes, they come into our consciousness. And your job is simply not touch them. You can witness them, but don't touch them. And in regards to, sexual cravings, what does it mean not to touch them? Well, it means we just don't act them out. If we act them out, chances are we'll find ourselves in trouble. In trouble. And I don't care if you're the greatest guru on the planet or just, an ordinary spiritual seeker. Lustful thoughts, they tend to be tremendously powerful. They're some of the most powerful thoughts in the universe because they're connected at a root level to the creativity of God, the procreation of divinity on the planet and in the universe. Lustful thoughts at core have a truth, and the truth is creation. But they're a lower manifestation of our animal nature. And see, human beings, we're part animal, part human, and part divine. And so when the light floods our animal nature, it comes into our consciousness. And so the teaching here is we don't touch those thoughts. We let them float through our consciousness. We work with transforming these thoughts. And the way we transform lust is oftentimes into creativity. And so if you can make art, if you can paint, I know it's the middle of winter, but at least here in the northern hemisphere, it's the middle of winter, but in the southern hemisphere, perhaps you could be making a garden now, or doing yard work, or if you are in the northern hemisphere, you could be out shoveling snow. So the teaching in the monastery is if you have lots of lustful thoughts, it's good for you to be put to work. Cooking, cleaning, working out in the garden. And channeling this energy, burning it up, literally burning it up. But if you're a tantric practitioner, and a tantra is the avenue where heaven meets earth. And so a tantric practitioner may just sit in meditation with these thoughts, may open to these thoughts, and invite a greater sense of communing with God, communing with the Holy Spirit. Because after all, this movement of sexuality, this movement of the sexual impulse, it's toward procreation, and it's also the merging of energies, the communing of energies. And so if we're going to work with this in a tantric way, we sit in meditation and we allow these lustful thoughts, we invite them to transform into a greater love with God, a greater love with life. We invite God to come into us and flood our body, flood our form, to fill us with her grace, with her love. We allow these lower thoughts to be transformed into high thoughts of merging and communion. Communion with grace. Communion with love and with bliss. And so, yes, this is a beautiful question. And of course, it's the same teaching, whether it's, lustful thoughts, thoughts about being greedy or being right or, being righteous or struggling with anger or whatever it is. Every single one of the seven chakra centers has a lower expression, an egoic expression, a human expression, and a divine expression. And so the important thing is if we look at thoughts, whether it's anger or lust or greed or whatever it is, we look at them from a place of peace, and we just ask a simple question: is it true? Let's say, for example, with lustful thoughts. You're having lustful thoughts about, your neighbor or someone at work. Is it true I need to act this out? Well, probably not. Almost always, in regards to lustful thoughts, the answer is no. None of us need to act it out. Of course, if you're having, thoughts of desire about your husband and wife and you want to connect in this way with them, and they want to connect with you in that way, through the experience of intimacy, then by all means, enjoy it. Enjoy it as a healthy expression of play, a healthy expression of your humanity. But if you're plagued with thoughts, and the thoughts are, if I just, I could call them inappropriate, or if they're just very crass or animalistic, then we don't touch these. We don't act them out. We ask, are they true? No, they're not true. There was a point in my life when I was young and I first met my teacher, and I was celibate for him with celibate for the first couple years, and I can remember just being plagued. It's funny because I was in college and surrounded by all these beautiful young people, and I was plagued with these thoughts of lust. And I just gently said no. And I know I was just fine. I was just fine. Lots of thoughts would flow through consciousness, but big picture is it was no big deal. Just thoughts, just emotions, just feelings. We do not need to touch these. And later on in life, about 10 or 12 years later, when my kundalini awoke, I can remember, this first chakra being flooded with this experience you're speaking about, Ravi. My first chakra was flooded with lustful thoughts. They're just flashing, in front of my consciousness. And I can remember that. I saw, a picture of this on a Buddhist a Buddhist tonka. There's those big wall hangings that you have at like a Tibetan Buddhist center, and it was showing all the different hell realms, and one of them was a bunch of just people naked and engaged in desire, and it's almost humorous to see all these different scenes. And at some point you just have to laugh. You have to laugh at the power of lust, at the power of desire. But if you can stand back and laugh and see it all as a play, but not touch it, then it doesn't have power over you. But it's important that we have mastery over these centers. And mastery doesn't mean repression. Mastery means we are able to work with the energies. We don't project the energies on another. We don't project them onto our neighbor or our co-workers. You know, I'm a big fan of people having clear boundaries. I'm a big fan of, you know, keeping our pants on and not being inappropriate, because we can get in so much trouble. So much trouble. You know, unfortunately, I hear about it too often. You know, people come to me and they said they met with this teacher or that teacher, and the teacher made a sexual advance or this or that, and it's unfortunate, because it just shows that many people have not mastered. They're not masters of their own body. And again, it doesn't mean repression, but it means we have clear, healthy adult boundaries. And one of my teachers once said, he said, "Craig, it doesn't matter what you think or what you feel. It matters what you do." So you may have all kinds of wild feelings move through your body on the path. Again, whether it's anger or lust or greed or righteousness, you let those energies empty out of you. There's no reason to act them out. Unless, of course, it's appropriate. And so anyways, it's a beautiful question, Ravi. Beautiful questions. And one of the things that happens is when we face something that is radically difficult, it invites us to develop a backbone. In Zen, the old saying is strong back, open heart. Strong back doesn't mean we repress the feelings within us. It doesn't mean we're hyper-controlled. It means we're open and we are in alignment with the truth. And sometimes to be in alignment with the truth it means we don't touch this or we don't touch that. It means we just don't touch that. We don't go there. And yes, Jay, I see what you're saying. That yes, sometimes, you know, sometimes on the spiritual path, there's a lot of people running around with you know, what I call loose boundaries. And there's a lot of people who come into the spiritual world, and they mix, you know, sex and spirituality. They call it Tantra, but true Tantra has really nothing to do with that. True Tantra is the merging of heaven and earth. It's transforming lower energies into higher energies. It's finding the truth. The truth. And inviting a higher truth to come forward in our lives. And yes, so the invitation here is, can we stand in the truth? Can we stand in the truth? Can we live from our highest? Can we do what is true and be what is true? One of the things that happens if we are always chasing desire, or if we're always acting out our anger, or always falling apart, our divine energy, it gets spread out. It loses its strength. It gets lost in the chaos of this human life. It's one of the reasons why, you know, monks are taught, or nuns are taught, and to maintain this sense of celibacy. It's because the teacher, the lineage, doesn't want the young student or the nun to be wasting their energy all over the place, chasing this thing or chasing that thing. It's important to be one focused on the path, single pointed. Now, of course, you can be single pointed and also have a family and also have a busy life, but it takes a different kind of backbone. And so I'm a big fan of being highly disciplined, but not in a tight or tense way, but highly disciplined. And in order to be disciplined, we have to be willing to say no to that which is untrue. We need to be able to see thoughts that are unhelpful and say, no, I'm not going to walk in that direction. I'm not going to believe that thought, no matter how intense it feels. No matter how intense it feels. I don't need to believe that thought. I do not need to go down that path. I'm always surprised when I go to spiritual groups and I see people are coming there, they're looking for a date. We're not meeting here looking for a date. We're coming here to open our hearts. If we are looking for a date, we're looking for a date with God. And so I used to have this old saying when I was young that I was married to God. First and foremost, married to God. And then there was just a clear sense of, I know what my path is about. My path is about love and service to the divine. And if that shows up in the form of loving another or raising children or running a business, that's included too. We want to make sure that our love for God isn't, how should I say this, exclusive in the sense that we are excluding life. For we must remember that God is this world. And so our love must be an inclusive love. We must be willing to see God's grace, God's love, God's heart everywhere. This is a very advanced form of non-duality. Is to be able to see God everywhere. But that does not mean our egoic mind co-opts the situation. Like Jay was saying here, we don't want our mind to co-op chasing after beautiful women in yoga pants. That's not the point of the spiritual path. The point is communion with God, service to God, surrender to God. As we surrender to God, we discover our absolute divinity and absolute oneness with all of life. All of life. It's a funny thing about our egoic nature. Our egoic nature sees life through the lens of division. There's me and there's them. There's me and there's you. There's me and the beautiful person I desire. But when you truly step into oneness, desire falls away. Desire is actually satiated. Because when you step into the oneness of your heart, you feel this absolute beauty that you are. And when your eyes are open, you see this beauty everywhere. Everywhere. You see beauty everywhere. No matter what the form is. And it's such a gift. Such a gift to see this beauty everywhere. So yes, Ravi, thank you for the question. And Jay, yes, of course. And so if anyone else has a comment or a question, I'll pick up this last question that I tried to start earlier. And so this individual here has a question about hell. And so he writes in, "Craig, I'm deeply struggling with my fundamentalist upbringing. Have a deep fear of hell. It plagues me." And yes, this breaks my heart when I hear about things like this. Fundamentalism, oftentimes, and I don't care who it is, it's Christian, Muslim, even Buddhist fundamentalists, have very archaic beliefs, archaic ideas of hell. If you study religion, you'll see that this idea has come up in numerous religions. It's often like a tactic that's used, by bishops or lamas or whoever it is, in a sense, to control the masses, to make the masses stay in, this religion or that religion. They put the so-called fear of God in you. But we must remember the first teaching. God is love. God is love. And then we can just bring some of our, good old-fashioned logic. Would a loving God create a hell world for us to burn eternally? Well, I say hell no. Hell no. Doesn't even make sense. It's funny because, as a child, I know I say this often, but as a child, I'd go to church and the priest would talk about hell, or Sunday school, they'd talk about hell. To me, it made no sense. And so if it didn't make sense, I just let it pass on by. I let that thought pass on by. There's no hell. God is not going to make us in his image and likeness. She's not going to create us and give us one chance to either make it or fail miserably. One chance to bow before the one and only Jesus Christ. I mean, come on. Come on, does that sound true? Does that sound like an all-loving God? Or does that sound like an instrument of what I'll call politics? Politics in religion. There is no hell. But we can create a hell in our mind through listening to our lower thoughts. Like with, any of our animal thoughts, whether it's lust or anger or greed or feeling of absolute fear, that's hell. So if you identify with that aspect of your consciousness, you've essentially stepped into hell. And if you're living in hell, well, how do we get out? Through two things, actually three. We get out through peace, strength, and love. We need the peace to be able to see clearly. So if you're in hell, you need to be willing to step out of that hell and to notice, who is it that's here? What is it that's here that notices these crazy, hellish thoughts? Who is it that's here that's quiet, that's awake and aware, and notices this play of emotions? Who is it? What's that? And so when we step into the space of peace, we step into it and we see, oh, I'm struggling. I'm deeply struggling. And so what do I need? I need the strength to not believe my thoughts. And I need a willingness to love the very part of myself that feels lost, that feels confused. I must be willing to see that there's an aspect of my humanity that feels scared. And so I invite you, if you have any of that, if we ever had any of this, if we feel deeply afflicted, we must be like a good father who sees his child is crying. We walk into the room and we pick him up. We pick her up and we say, "Sweetie, I love you so much. It's okay. Let me bring you out of here. Let me carry you into the light. Let us together walk forward into the truth. Let us walk forward into the truth." But the truth means we don't believe in things which are untrue. We don't believe in things which are archaic. We look into our experience here and now. Here and now, and see, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing that I need to act out. I simply must breathe and let go. Let go of this falsehood and connect with God. Connect with the loving heart of God. Say, "God, can I come back home to you? I've been lost in my mind. I've been lost in my emotions. Can I come back home to you? Will you flood me with your grace? Will you hold me? Will you embrace this part of me that struggles with this idea of hell?" It's such a silly thing for religions to put the fear of God into people. Now, life is hard enough here on earth. We don't need to be afraid of, if we mess something up, that we're going to burn in eternal hell. We must remember this is God's world. God created us. God created evolution. God created our animal nature. God created our human nature. God created our divine nature. So if we want to blame someone, let us blame God. And in the meantime, can we do our best? Can we connect to our heart and choose to live from our highest? So this is how we step out of hell, is we connect to our heart and choose to live from our highest. And so, in a real sense, living in hell means connecting to your animal nature. And you will suffer if you spend your life chasing girls in yoga pants. Yes, you will suffer. Or guys with big muscles, or whatever it is that people chase, If we chase, the red, shiny sports car, we will suffer. If we chase, having the perfect job, we will suffer. Perfect partner will suffer. Having a big mansion on a hill, we will suffer. If we allow our anger to rule us, we will suffer. If we fall apart in existential fear or insecurity, we will suffer. So the invitation is, if we are afflicted, to step out of that. To step into the peace, the very quietude which is here right now. Even if we find ourselves in hell, we can notice, what is it that notices this hell? What is it? Who am I? Who is the I which notices all these thoughts? Who is the I which notices all these feelings? Who is that I? And is that I actually in hell? Or is that I a presence of peace? A presence of awareness? A presence of spacious divinity? Yes, so. So it's sad. It's sad when I see a question like this. You know, when we believe in something like hell, we're believing in our ego. We're not connected with the truth. And so another question that came up this week was a very interesting one. Someone said this funny thing to me. They said, "Craig, I'm afraid if I let go into the truth, I will have to live in obedience to God." And that seems like a lot of work to me. I think it's just the general sense. But what we must remember, it's much more easy to live in obedience to God than it is to live in obedience to ego. For obedience to God is really obedience to our highest nature. It's obedience to love, it's obedience to bliss. Yes, it's true. We move from obedience to abidance. And so, what obedience, it means listening to the bliss of your nature, letting go into it, surrendering into it. It's not like God's going to be ordering you around and making you do 100,000 prostrations. When you let go into obedience, then you naturally abide in your truth, abide in your divinity. Your life begins to become blissful. It becomes wonderful. And if we haven't noticed, obedience to ego feels like hell. That's suffering 101. I laugh when people tell me they want to hold on to their ego. It's like, yeah, you want to hold on to suffering, okay? You're going to hold on to hell. In the most basic sense, the ego is just a fight or flight response. It's obsolete, it's unnecessary. Living through ego is like working on an Apple Macintosh computer from 1986, trying to connect that up to the internet. It doesn't work. It's slow moving. It's out of date. It's obsolete. But when we open into the hugeness of our nature, it's wonderful. And yes, in order to abide, to have an abiding awakening, an awakening which does not fluctuate, you must say yes to truth in every moment. And for some of us, this is difficult in the beginning to say yes to the truth and no to the force of habit. But after you do this for a short period of time, it becomes intoxicating. The truth becomes all-consuming. You realize, my God, I would never want to live any other way. Sometimes people call it's like walking on a razor's edge or a tightrope. And yes, it can be that way in the beginning if you have a very strong ego. It could feel difficult in the beginning if your ego is really strong, really loud. But the more you let go into the truth, you begin to see there's no other way. It feels wonderful to be undivided. And you open to this flow of power and confidence. Which simply leads you. And it just makes sense. It just makes sense to stay in the truth. It doesn't require any great struggle or. And once you truly and deeply surrender, now going back to your ego is like going back to middle school. It's like, who the hell wants to have a middle school's, boy or girl's consciousness? It's a hell world. A hell world to be so divided, to be so concerned about how you look and how you feel and what this person thinks or that person thinks. It's a hell world. Now that's the hell. It's the hell to live in a divided, twisted, self-centered consciousness. Then you discover true freedom is actually quite simple. It's listen to the heart and nothing else. Then eventually these other voices, they just simply die, they die off. It's like weeds. Weeds will grow if you keep watering them, but if you cut off the water, they eventually dry up and die. So if you simply stop paying attention to that inner division, to all the crazy voices in your head, to the lustful thoughts or whatever it is, if you leave it alone and just let it die, eventually it does. And so, yes, and this is the spiritual path to say yes to the truth. And no to the force of habit. For God is the movement of evolution, movement toward that which is higher, the movement toward that which is good, true, and beautiful about yourself. And so, yes, thank you all again for joining me this week. And so I invite you again to feel into your truth, to connect with this basic sense of luminosity, which you are. To notice how quiet is the space of your consciousness. How big is the love of your heart? How beautiful is your nature? So I invite you to allow this to be your practice, waking up to what you are. and sharing your beauty with the world. Share your heart with the world. Share your divine thoughts with the world. Share your grace with the world. So thank you all for joining me tonight. Thank you all for those of you who've been offering donations. Just a reminder, you're welcome to go to the website if you want to offer a donation, craigholiday.com. And there's a donation link there. So thank you for that. Thank you for supporting these teachings. Thank you for showing up and sharing your heart with me. I feel such love from all of you. So peace be with you all. And have a good night or good day, wherever it is you find yourself. Take good care. Peace be with you.